thank you all. What a blessing. What a blessing. That song is really a lot of what I have to share this morning. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. This morning we're going to be looking at the stewardship of hope. Stewardship of hope. Before we go to our passage, let me ask you a few questions, and I want you to be all in and all ears as I ask these questions. I really want you to listen, and I want you to, as you hear the question, I want you to evaluate. And I want you to begin to think. And of course, I want the thinking to start as we go through the whole message this morning. This is not a message from your pastor. This is a message from God's Word that I'm going to deliver to you this morning. It's not just a burden on my heart. It's something from God's Word that we need to take. We need to take this. My question to you this morning is there hope for Faith Bible Church? Is there hope for Faith Bible Church? Now, when we stop and we think about that question, what comes to our minds is maybe the makeup of faith. When I say the makeup, I'm talking about, you know, how many younger people as opposed to older people, and how many middle-aged. Is there hope? What's going on with the church? Are there many people? Are there many people that are attending? Are there many people that are engaged in service? Are there many people that are all in? You know, and I could ask a lot of questions concerning Faith Bible Church, but you know, hope. Where does our hope lie? And I would say that, you know, there's a lot of things that we can take into the equation concerning whether we have the right hope for our church. But again, I'm going to ask you the question, is there hope for Faith Bible Church? Now, I know that you know the answer. And I'm asking you to dig deeper beyond the initial, you know there's hope for Faith Bible Church because you know that God is the backbone of that. You know that, of course, there's hope. But I really want you to analyze what you think. You know, there are certain things in life that we say, you know, there's not a whole lot of hope for this to succeed and survive. For some reason, I know some of you probably caught on to this, that restaurants in Elizabethtown have a hard time sticking. I've always found, you know, people come in, they rent a place, and they try to make it. And it's hard. They end up going out of business. Have you noticed that? It just doesn't last here. I don't know why. But there's something about the Elizabethtown area that they don't stick. You know, some have stuck, but a lot of... Why? You know, so why do I say this? Because, you know, if a new restaurant... I certainly probably wouldn't want to start a restaurant in Elizabethtown because I would say, man, it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of hope for that. It hasn't made its way, you know, by and large. I'm really asking you the question, what do you think about Faith Bible Church? Do you think that there's hope? Hope. Hope in survival. Will we be here when the rapture happens? Well, that's sort of hope. In my opinion, that's kind of a meager hope. Just survival to me, as we've been studying faithfulness, that doesn't sound like faithfulness to me just to be here. By the way, we don't even know if America will be here. We don't know if America will be here when the rapture happens. And we have nothing to count on that we think that it will. We have no idea. We don't know when the rapture is going to be. Okay, so hope. Do we have hope that we'll survive? That will last, will stand the test of time. Or there's more. We could say, do we have hope for Faith Bible Church that will more than just survive? Well, is there hope that will continue to get more people in and we will continue to cycle people? And as people get older and as they are not able to be here anymore, will we be able to keep other people coming in, a younger generation? Well, that's a certain sort of a hope and a hope that we need to have. I hope that that happens, but do we have hope that that's going to happen? And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of churches, and it's not just churches of our stripe, that they're losing a lot of people. The younger generation is not going to church, and they're dropping out. They're doing their own things. Things are becoming very, very, virtual, and I think that everything that has happened is catered to that. There's a lot that we can do. I remember in one of the webinars that I was on when we were right in the middle of all the lockdowns back in the spring, I remember being a part of a webinar that hosted a huge variety of churches in Pennsylvania, and there was probably very few conservative churches, but lots and lots of churches across the whole state, and anything and everything, all stripes, all colors, all practices. We're part of that, and just finding out, you know, what's to be done, where churches fit in with all this, and, you know, who, how do we follow, how do we obey, how do we do this, how do we do that? A lot of questions that were asked, and it was interesting, some of the response from it, that some of the pastors of probably more liberal churches were coming on there and saying, you know what, this has been kind of amazing, and they were burdened about getting back together, but it was like, we have found a way to do church outside of the church building. We have found a way for people to connect without ever being here. We have found, there was all kinds of things that were very alarming to me. Because they were finding it to be what they call successful. People were connecting, Bible studies were happening, people were getting, you know, all this was taking place and we don't even have to go anywhere. Why was I alarmed with that? Because that is not church. Church is the ecclesia, which in the Greek is the called out assembly. It's a called out group of people, called out from the world to an assembly, to a physical place where we get together, together as a body of Christ and worship. The point that I'm making here is that the world has found a way to do things. And it's not just church. It's everything. It's, you know, with the medical world. Don't come in person. Let's just meet on a chat or on a Zoom meeting. Let's do this and let's do everything that way. I remember one day Melissa and I were going into a store and over the loudspeakers we're going to have a meeting of this, but it's all online and all virtual. You can stay in your home and do this and just so many things go in that way. And that's, you know, to have something online or virtual is not bad, but when everything goes that way, then it's going to have an effect. And it's not going to be a good effect. Is our hope that, George, you're just going to stay faithful, that people can come here? You know, it'll be a blessing in 20 years or 50 years, you know, there will be still people coming to church. And we look at that and maybe laugh, but I tell you what, the world is making it very simple for us not to do that. Would it be hope that more than just survival? Would it be a hope more than just an assembly? Would it be a hope that we're still in God's Word? And you look at that and laugh as well. But do you realize there are a lot of churches across America that don't open God's Word? You say, that's church? No, it's not really. But a lot of churches meeting without opening God's Word. The preacher is showing up and giving a good talk on something, on how to love your neighbor, on how to do this and how to do that. I'll tell you what, that's not church. You know, is our hope that we are in God's Word? And by the way, is that a good hope that Faith Bible Church in the next 50 years will still be preaching God's Word? Absolutely. It's all a part of it. But is that the limit of your hope? Is the hope that one day, yes, we have survived, we're still in an assembly, we are still coming and opening up God's Word, and meeting here as, you know, 80 people or so, is that your hope? You know, we can go higher and higher in what this hope is. Do you understand what the hope of the Scriptures is and what the hope of God was? The hope of God and the purpose of God was for Jesus to come to this earth and to seek and to save those which are lost. The hope of God would be to come and be that Jesus would be the Savior of the world. Anything short of that is ungodly and unbiblical hope. that this church would be actively involved in the things of the Lord. Now, last week I gave some illustrations concerning sports. And again, if you're not at all in sports, I apologize. That's just one of the worlds that I had a big part of in life. And so naturally, when I think of things, I think of sports things. You've heard my story in junior and senior years of high school and how we lost every game, didn't win a game in high school. That was defeating to a lot of us. It was defeating going into college, and the first game we lost when I got to college, I thought I was a curse. But it wasn't. We actually had a winning season that year, and so praise the Lord that as I went on through, as I went on through my freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year of college, we started to lose more and more. And it's hard to lose, you know, in sports. It really is. It's hard to lose on a normal, consistent basis. You know, there would be times when you would look at the team. You'd be gearing up for the game, and there would be times when the team was winning that everybody had a spirit of excitement. They couldn't wait to get out there, and there was enthusiasm, and there was excitement, there was motivation, there was confidence to go out there, and you could see that through the locker room. You could see that in the lineup. You could see that in the faces of people. But you know, when a team begins to lose and it becomes normal, you watch the faces grow less confident. You watch the demeanor change. And when you're looking through the line of players, you know, you're getting ready to play a game, and there the line, you know, the line of players are standing there, and you sing the, you know, that somebody sings the national anthem, and you're getting ready to go out, you know, and face the opponent. And you walk down the line and you look at the faces of these individuals that are a part of a losing team. You don't see a lot of confidence. You go to that first player there that, you know, he's there and his head's hanging. You know, as a coach, that's defeating already. Do you understand that? That's defeating when you see a player, you know, his head's down. You look at the next one and you see in his eyes there's a scare. He's scared to death. He's scared to death to step foot on the field. He's scared. And you know, the next guy, you look at him and he's frustrated because he's tired of losing. You see frustration. And you go on down the line, and every player you see, you know what? In the end, what I'm describing here, would you say that this team has hope? What would you say? No. And tell me why. Why don't they have hope? Probably because of their losing streak, right? They've lost. They have no confidence. They've lost confidence in probably the coach. They've lost confidence in their ability. They've lost confidence in their team, their fellow team members. They've lost confidence in the excitement of what it even means to win, and they are scared. And you would say that team has no hope. And when a team has no hope, we don't always know the outcome, but what is likely to happen at the end of the game? A loss, right? It's devastating for a team to enter the court or the field without hope. Now, let me change the scenario just a bit. Let's take the same team. Let's take the same record. Let's take the same history with all of this. And for some reason, they had an ability to know the outcome of the game. And they knew that at this game, even though the opponent was tremendously a big challenge, what if each player knew for a fact that they were going to win this game? Now, that's not an ability that we have in the sports world. But what if every member of this defeated and losing team knew in truth that they were going to win? It doesn't matter their record, and whatever, for the past many years. We've not won any. We've been blown out of the waters by every single team, good or bad, that has come through. We've never scored a touchdown. We've never scored a basket. We've never done anything. And yet this game, they know for sure, there's no question, you guys are going to win this game. If you could know that, do you think that it would change the demeanor and the hope of this team? What do you think? Absolutely. Because all of a sudden, that first guy that his head was down, all of a sudden, he knows that they're going to win. Well, that gets exciting, right? And all of a sudden, you see his confidence go up. Wow. You know, the next guy that you could see in his eyes, he was scared to death. All of a sudden, those eyes have confidence now. And the next guy that was, he's sorry, you know, and he's frustrated for the way everything's happened. All of a sudden, he's excited because he's going to be a part of a game and a team that is going to win. He's excited about that. And the next guy that the coach could hardly get to do his job because he's so discouraged with losing that he doesn't want to do it. By the way, you know that players get discouraged with doing what they're supposed to do and their responsibility when they've lost, you know, so many games in a row? They don't do what they're supposed to do very hard. Now, this guy, this fourth guy, he gets excited, and now he's motivated to do what his position calls to do because he has a hope in something that is sure. Something that is fixed. He knows that it takes place. And this affects him in many areas. Faith Bible Church, what is your hope? What is your hope for this church in the future? We've got a building that could have twice as many people in it as this. Twice as many ministries could be going on in this place, on this property, very easily. Do you have hope that one day, let me just give you a little bit of a vision. Do you have hope that one day we would have need to expand this auditorium? Some of you just look at me like. Do you have hope that we would need to have more classroom space than what's back there? Do you have concern whether the local authorities would let us expand a little bit and get permitting to do more in this place? Does that concern you? Or you say, Pastor, I have no concern about that because we'll never get there. Did you wonder when we redid our parking lot? Boy, but what about expanding out there? We got to be careful with, you know, putting a bigger shed over there because what if our parking lot's going to go out there someday? Pastor, we need to be thinking through this because at some point in time we're going to have to do this. What's your vision for this place? Do you have a hope that people are going to start to come to your Discovery Bible studies and fill up? You know, I tried to paint some pictures of some possibilities last year. Do you have hope that we can begin to see people saved and discipled and added to our church? Do we have hope that this baptistry that right now, you know, gets more crickets in there than we do baptisms? And I'm a little bit joking, but there's a lot of crickets that go in that place. We didn't make that for the crickets. You can hear them right now. There's a cricket back there. Do you have more hope that one day we'll be able to use these things for a choir? Pastor, we might as well get rid of those things because we're never going to have that again. Don't you understand the days in which we live? What's your hope? And I would say that among the best of the best, even in this room, and I say the best, none of us are best. But I would say if all of us were dreadfully honest, we would think to ourselves, pastors up there blowing smoke, because we'll never need to build. Look at right here. We have enough room for double. Pastor, why would you even think that we would need to be concerned about how we do some things back there? Because we'll never need that. We'll never need all those spaces for parking. We'll never need to expand that. We would never need to be concerned about building codes. We don't need to be concerned about more ministries and more leadership. We don't need to be concerned about any of these things because, Pastor, we're past that day. You know what? That would be just like this line of players that would say, we're beyond hope. Now, I want you to be honest. You're not going to have to raise your hand and you're not going to answer to me. I just want you to answer in your own self. And I'm talking really. I'm talking really. Nothing pretend, or not just an answer in your own self just to make you feel better. I'm asking you the question, do you really have hope that something special like I've just, and I didn't even really give you that much, could and would happen at some point in time? All right, we've been talking about stewardship. You remember what stewardship is? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, you've turned there many times. Probably your Bible might open up to it because we've been there. But go there again. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. There's a responsibility that we're all given here as Christians, not just the leadership, but all Christians have this. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Moreover, in stewards... Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You've probably memorized this definition, but let me give it to you again. Biblical stewardship is the faithful and wise management. Listen to this. Biblical stewardship is the faithful and wise management of God's resources and responsibilities for the ultimate glory of God, realizing that He will eventually demand accountability. One more time. Biblical stewardship is the faithful and wise management of God's resources and responsibilities for the ultimate glory of God, realizing that He will eventually demand accountability. Three main points that we have from this verse. The first one is ownership. Whose possessions are these? They're God's. And we have been using in the past months an illustration here. We have a pile of things. This is God's pile right here. I know you can see it. We've looked at it every week. Here's God's things. And whose things are these? All right, it's my house right here. Okay, there's a fault with that, but this is my home. This is where I reside. Here's my house. And I've got a door here, and I've got a door over there. And the master shows up. He comes through this door, and he's got all kinds of things. And he places things here, and he goes back out, and he gets more. And he places all these things here, and here's a big mound of things. And they're there, okay? There are the resources. There are the things. This is in the place that I reside. Whose possessions are these? They're the master's. Remember, ownership. They're his things that he has placed in our lives. And again, every time I say my or our, there's a fault with that. But it's our place that He has given to us. All of the things right here are God's. And I'm going to review again. Remember, everything in your life, which is not even yours, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember, your life is not yours. Your body is not yours. For ye are bought with a price. Remember, it's not ours. It's not our home. It's not our residence. It's God's. And yet where I am, God has placed His resources. Your time is not your time. It's God's time. Your eyes are not your eyes. They're God's eyes. Your ears are not your ears. They're God's ears. Your money is not your money. It is God's money. Your truck is not your truck. It is God's truck. Your home is not your home. It is God's home. Your thoughts are not your thoughts. They are God's thoughts. Everything that you have, which you don't, they are God's. Every single thing. This church is not your church. It was kind of funny that my two littlest boys were talking. It was either this morning or last night. And the older of the two came to me and said, Daddy, my brother said that our church is our church. And I thought about that and I was wondering where he was going with that. And I said, well, it is the church. It's you know, in a sense, I kind of said, it's our church. No, it's not our church. I said, and I looked at him, I said, well, whose church is it? I was just wanting to see if he really was understanding what I thought maybe he was saying. I said, well, whose church is it? He says, it's God's church. And I'm grateful that he understands that at an early age. It is God's church. He's right. He's got something. He's been listening to what we're saying. It is not our church. It is not our program. You know what? It is not our Sunday school. It is not our music program. It is not our outreach. All of these things are whose? Every one of them, God's. Does that mean something to you? I'm looking at a group of people that you're just sitting here staring at me. Does that mean something to you? These are God's things. I'll tell you what, it ought to mean something to us, because if these are God's things and not ours, the responsibility, and that's the second thing, becomes much greater. If it's mine, I can decide what I want to do with it because it's mine. But I have to realize really quickly in life, nothing is mine. I have no right to do anything because it's all God's. My children are God's. My wife is God's. Everything is God's. That changes our responsibility. In this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, first of all, we see ownership. It is not ours. Second of all, we have responsibility. The faithful and wise management. Now, I have to take these resources that are not mine, and I've got to be faithful, and I've got to be wise in how I manage these things. And according to Matthew chapter 25, faithfulness and wisdom is not taking these things and just protecting them. No, it's adding to them. It's multiplying. It's seeing them increased. So when the master comes back one day back through this door, that pile is at least doubled. It's bigger. We've done something with his goods. That's faithful and wise management. We've got to do something with this. We don't just sit on it. And thirdly, eventually, there's going to be what? There's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be accountability. The master will return and say, "All right, Sean, what did you do with this? All right, Faith Bible Church, what did you do with this?" Now, this morning, for just a few moments, I want to talk about our stewardship with hope. Hope. What do we do with our thoughts about this place? Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to go here in the beginning to a couple different passages. You say beginning, Pastor, don't you know what time it is? Well, you forget the time just for a moment. It'll fly. You listen. You make sure and get it, okay? Very important. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, this passage is talking about what entity, what establishment is Ephesians 4 talking about? The church. Understand that, first of all. This is talking about the body of Christ. Very specifically, the church. And I would say very specifically, yes, if you want to call it with a Catholic phrase, the universal church, but you know what? It's the body of Christ at large, all saved individuals, but I think very specifically pictured in the local church. Pictured here, this is a picture of God's saved body at large. Does Ephesians 4 apply to the local church? Yes, okay? Now, we're not going to look at this passage very long. I just want you to see something about hope in verse 4. We're talking about the church. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Now, when we talk about that one hope, who is our hope? Who is the hope of the church? Jesus Christ. It is His hope. It is from Him that we have hope. What does the word hope mean? Listen to this. Hope is the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Now, there's a lot more into that than what you think. Let me read it again. Hope is the joyful and confident. Okay, joyful. It's an excitement. When a person has hope for something, you know, if this first player, you know, he's sitting here with his head down and his hands in his pockets and he's like this, he doesn't have hope. When a person has hope, there's joy. There's an excitement that is there. What's the next word? It's the joyful, in this definition, it's the joyful and confident.
You know, the second player is standing here, and in his eyes, he's scared. He's not confident at all. He is getting ready for defeat. He's getting ready to be run over. He is getting ready to lose. He's scared to death about that big guy that's right across from him. He is intimidated. There's no confidence here. Brothers and sisters, hope is joy. Hope has confidence, and there's a reason why there's a confidence. It's joyful and confident expectation, and that expectation is based upon something that is true. Remember, the team was declared at the beginning of the game, you're going to win. There's an expectation there of truth, and this truth here is eternal salvation. Now, eternal salvation is a lot. It's not just saved here on earth. Okay, we trust Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. We come to understand that what Jesus did on the cross was good enough. I can go to heaven when I die. It's more than that. It's He's going to take me, and as He saved me, He's going to bring me to that place all through life. And when I die physically, when the rapture happens, when I go, I can be confident that their salvation will be there. And like Simeon was able to say, I have seen Him with my eyes. Are you excited one day to see Jesus? Won't that be a tremendous opportunity, a tremendous time? When there He is, the victor, King of kings and Lord of lords, there He is. And I'll tell you what, that's when our salvation is going to be full and complete, when it's there. You know, we have full and complete salvation, but we don't understand it. We don't really, really, really experience it until one day it's there. Hope is looking ahead to what is already promised. What is already true. Is hope a blind hope? Well, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope it does. We use hope in a very wrong way. Hope in our vocabulary is something that I think so, maybe so, I don't know so, but I want it to. You see, the hope of salvation is a no-so. I know it because God says it in His Word, and it's going to happen. I know we're going to win. Because God said so. All right, Romans 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Here we find our outline of three things I want to go quickly through. Romans 15, verse 13. I want you to see three things in this verse. Now the God of hope, there's the first thing, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, there's the second, that ye may abound in hope, that's the third thing, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Three things that I want you to see out of Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. First of all, the God of hope. We're going to see the foundation of hope. By the way, there needs to be if you're going to have a hope in something, there ought to be a foundation to it. Why do you hope that? Well, I don't know. I just think it might happen. No, it's got to be a source of a no-so source. I know it because of this foundation. That's the first thing. The foundation of hope. And that's God. That's Jesus and His promises. Second of all, we have the building of hope. We have the foundation and then the building. How is this hope taken? Well, it's taken in action. He says, and joy and peace in believing. You see, hope has more to do with just a truth given, the foundation of truth given. It's then acting in faith as if it were happening. Believing is the second thing. So there's the building of hope, belief and faith in His promises. And then thirdly, we have the promise of hope, and that's abounding in hope and victory. Okay? There's the three points that I want to go through. And I told you we're going to go to a couple passages here we're going to be founded in. Now, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Here we have two verses that I want you to notice. So far, you're going to look at this message and say, wow, it's a little haphazard. We've got all these verses, and where are we basing out of? 1 Corinthians and stewardship, Romans, or Ephesians, with the church and hope there, Romans chapter 15, you know, with our outline. But I want you to see some things. It's all going to go back to Romans 15 and the outline, the foundation of hope, the building of hope, and the promise of hope. But in Matthew chapter 16, it's all illustrated for us. We see it
we see it come to truth. Okay, so Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 and 18. And the disciples are around Jesus, and they're asking questions, and Jesus is talking to them. And notice in verse 17, Jesus has Simon, Peter there next to him. And Jesus answered, well, we could actually go back to the question. Go back to verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" There's the question. And they said, so a variety of them answered, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." So there's the answer. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different answers. And then Jesus pointed it to them and he says, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" In verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, so here's Peter's answer, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There was his answer. In verse 17, Jesus responds, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he goes on in verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Cephas, the little rock, the little stone. And upon this rock," by the way, who's this rock referring to? A lot has been made that he's talking back to Peter. You know, this little stone, and on this rock. No. I don't believe that at all is what's happening. If we were to illustrate it, it's kind of like this. "Thou art Peter, little stone. And upon this rock," he's referring to himself, Jesus, "the chief cornerstone. And upon this rock, I will build my church." We know that because Jesus has already said that he was the foundation, that he was the cornerstone. "And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Can I take a time out and go back to the opening illustration of this team here that's defeated? You know what that verse 18 is saying? What's it saying in reference to the game today? Yeah, you're going to get victory. In fact, you've already won. It's already won. You have victory. There it is in verse 18. Does everybody see it? There's victory right there. He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail." Are you guys scared about what's going on with all of the rioting and stuff like that? Are these people going to win? Is there going to be anarchy in America? I tell you what, we have a lot of questions about what's going to happen. What's going to happen to the government? What's going to happen to the in the political world? What's going to happen to our economy? And are these people going to win? I don't know exactly what's going to happen in America, but can I tell you, and this is not some neat ability that I have to foretell the future. It's founded upon the Word of God. Folks, I'll tell you something. The gates of hell will not prevail. The devil is not going to win. Wickedness is not going to stand there in the end, going like this in victory with all the Christians, the weak Christians down there just, you know, beat to death. That is not the way it ends. But Jesus Christ tells that the church is going to be founded upon himself, and the church is going to win. God's people are going to win. He is the victor, and you can count on it right now. There's going to be victory at the end of the day. That's the truth, folks. That's the truth. That's the foundation. And the foundation, point number one, goes back to a person. It goes back to God. So first Simon Peter is asked, you know, who Jesus was. Peter responds, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." This was foundational in Peter's life. Oh, did Peter make a lot of mistakes? Did Peter do a lot of wrong things? Yes, but it would be foundational. He did know that Jesus was God. He knew that. He had times of doing some things that were wrong, but I tell you what, he understood that. In fact, he was one of these guys that wanted to stand up. He said, "I'll get them, Lord. You send me out there after them." So foundational that he understood that Jesus was the answer. You know that this is foundational to the Hope of Faith Bible Church, that we know the truth. That we know the truth. Jesus is the victor. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But let me ask you a question. Do you have hope in that? When you open up the newspaper or maybe that web page, however you read your news these days, do you have hope? When you read those things, do you look at it and smile and say, I'm glad that Jesus is going to win. I'm glad that we already won. I'm glad that we've already defeated this enemy. I'm glad that that's not going to be the answer. I'm glad it's not going to end in anarchy. I'm going to tell you, it is not going to end in anarchy. It's going to end in one supreme being. God is going to be God, and every knee is going to bow at the feet of Jesus. Every king, every knee, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. There's the end of the game. There's the scoreboard. Tells it all. Referring to hope, right here at Faith Bible Church, I'll tell you what, it's so foundational. It's not some skimpy foundation. This is not some cheap building or property that has been thrown together that has no value. This is the building of the Son of the Living God that Peter recognized. Did you catch that, folks? Right here. The foundations of this building, and I'm not talking about the physical foundations, but the foundations of this establishment of Faith Bible Church is founded upon the victor, Jesus Christ. You see, this church, if we allow ourselves to be founded upon Jesus Christ, will not be defeated. They might take away our building. They might take away our property. They might take away our license to do this and our ability to do this. They might take away our tax-exempt status. They might take away everything. But there's no way that they can take our church away. And church is inside of us. Can't take it away. I'm going to tell you something. That's exciting. That's victory already. We know that He wins. We know it. This is the God of hope. This place, this ministry is of utmost importance as it is His establishment, the one that has victory, the one that is everlasting, the one that is almighty, the one that overcomes. As the kids sang this morning, my hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. I want to tell you something, they cannot do anything to this foundation. Nothing, because it's God. This is who He is and what He has said. And I'll tell you what, the foundation ought to give us hope. But there's a second thing. It's not just the foundation, but it's the building of hope. The building of hope, and that's faith in His promises. Notice in Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope, there's the foundation, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I'll tell you what, faith and trust, and ultimately as we look in hope, there's got to be something to hope with, not just the foundation, that we trust in it though. That we actively trust in it. That every day, you know, when we open up that newspaper, we open up that web page, when we see that we don't act in discouragement. And like that second or third player over here that goes out there like this and does his job, you can say, that player out there has no hope that we're going to win. No, not only is there motivation because we say, wait a second, we already know that we're going to win. It's this guy going out there and doing his very best because he knows we're going to win. It's active hope. There's a response. There's believing. You know, you can tell when a person believes in something. Did everybody hear that? You can tell when a person believes in something because they're trusting in it and they're going out for it. And that's why this first guy here, when he hears that he's going to win, all of a sudden he looks up and he's got that confidence. Why? Because he believes it now. He's been assured that it's going to happen. Can you tell when a person believes in something? How do you tell? Can you tell when a person doesn't believe in something? Of course. You know, if you're going up to Servant's Heart Camp and you get ready to get on that zip line that's so high up above there and they're harnessing you in, and then, you know, Mr. Fry says, all right, you're free to go, you're all set, and you stand there for 20 minutes. Question, are you believing in those lines? Are you believing in the harness that you have on? Are you believing in that tower that's been constructed? Absolutely not, you're believing because you won't do it. When we have hope, then it sends us into action. You can tell a person, you know what? There's some crazy kooks that got on top of that thing and they looked at it for the first time. You know what? As soon as Mr. Fry said, you're okay, they jumped. You know, I look at them and said, man, they had no fear. Why? They trusted in all that stuff. There was not the question. There was no question. They knew that there was victory. They were not, you know, the question was not going through their mind. I just might die in about 3 seconds. They knew the outcome. I'm going to sail right across that lake and I'm going to end up on the other side. This is going to be fun. Do you know that when a person or a church has hope, you can tell? Because there is no reservation. They're ready to go after it. They trust the Lord. God has promised that this church is going to prevail. There's nothing that the world or the devil can do to disrupt it. God is not going to let us be defeated. Peter believed, and he wasn't going to let anybody else tell him otherwise. Hope has everything to do with acting upon what you believe. I did not grow up a history scholar. I wish I would have paid more attention. I would have loved to have studied in greater detail the Civil War and all that went on there. You know, kind of an interesting time in history. But in the last couple of years, I've been able to go to Gettysburg and to not really study, but just get my appetite wet a little bit into some of it. And I've enjoyed going through Gettysburg and the museum and looking at some of these things. And you know, one of the things that amazes me is how a soldier could go into the front line and taking orders from his commander to go forward, knowing that there's probably almost sure he's going to die. Have you ever thought about that? How could he do it? Knowing that when he takes that musket, when he takes that thing, and his commander says charge, and he goes knowing that almost sure he's going to get a bullet, he's going to die, he's going to get one of those things, you know, stuck in his side. He's probably going to die. That front line. How could they do it? You tell me, how could a guy do that? Because he's got hope in a cause, right? He's got hope in a cause. I'm doing this because it's worth it. I believe that if I stand up and if I give my life, that eventually somebody else, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, a country in the future is going to experience freedom. That's the only way they could do it. That's the only way. That's in my opinion, that's, as I've looked at it, that's the only way they could do it. Is because they have hope. And what about the guy that has no hope? What does he do? Run away, right? I can't do this. And you know, you catch that guy and he's running. Because he has no hope. He has no hope. I ask you the question, Faith Bible Church, where is your hope for this church? You already know the foundation and the outcome. It's in Jesus Christ, and it's in God, it's in His blood and righteousness. It's already for sure we're going to win. We already know we're going to win. But I'll tell you what, there are many people in churches just like ours, and maybe even under church, that we come and we say, you know what? Can't sell out to this cause. Can't do it. And I'll tell you why. It's because they don't have hope. Scared about what, you know what? What if they come after us because we're standing up for what we believe and what God's Word says about marriage? I want to tell you something. We don't have to worry about it, folks. You say, but Pastor, what if they hear your message? What if they come after you? It doesn't matter because Jesus wins anyway. Where's our hope? I ask you, am I looking at a crowd here that has hope this morning? Do you have hope in what the foundation has said? Do you have hope and belief and trust in because God did it, we're going to do something. We're going to go forward, Pastor. We're excited what God has for us. I think of examples. Think about Joshua. Little grasshoppers going through a land of giants. And the 10 that came back, what was their answer? We're little grasshoppers. We can't do this. And you got two men, that Joshua and Caleb, that are little grasshoppers, but they stand up and say, of course we can do this, because God's on our side. He's already told us we can do it. You see, those men were going back to a promise. They were going back to a person, and they said, the victory is already assured. They knew their foundation, and they had hope in it, and they were ready to go forward. Kind of like David when he went in front of Goliath. Been scared to death. The only reason why David could be excited about going before Goliath is because he knew and trusted in his foundation, God. But David just didn't stand back there and said, oh, we got him. Somebody else go. No, David said, listen, we've got him, and I'll go. You see, it results in service. It results in, you can tell when somebody's all about a cause. Was Joshua all about a cause? You tell me. Was David all about a cause? Absolutely. Is there not a cause? Daniel, was he all about a cause? Did he change the way he prayed? Did it affect him? Kept him out of the lion's den? No. It didn't affect. You see, he served. He had a cause. That's hope. That is hope. The kid's saying, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, a solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking. You remember that parable that was given in Matthew chapter 7? A lot of people think that, you know, the rains came down and the floods came up, and we sing that song, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. We think that has to do with just the foundation, and there's a lot said about the foundation. But the main point of that passage is what? He that hears my sayings and does them, acts upon it. That's going to be the house that stands. Can I tell you something, Faith Bible Church? The church that stands is going to be the church that acts upon the truth. They don't just stand back and survive. No, we are going gung-ho. I'll be in the front line, Pastor. I'll be in the front line, and I will go. I will give myself to the cause. Do we have hope? Do we have hope? Do we believe in a cause? Hope is excited to be personally, listen to this, hope is excited to be personally victorious over those dreadful besetting sins this morning. Let me ask you, do you have hope to be freed from those besetting sins that you have? Some of you are saying, Pastor, I've been defeated in the area of my mind and my eyes for years. Let me tell you something, you have hope because Jesus has already won the victory. You say, Pastor, I've been defeated over worry and anxiety and fear and depression for so many years. I want to tell you something, Jesus can deliver you from those things because He's given you hope. Do you have hope? Hope is excited to be personally victorious over the dreadful besetting sins. Hope motivates a person to be in God's Word daily and fellowship with Him in an ongoing prayer. You know what? Hope motivates you to do that, to get up in the morning. You say, Pastor, I don't just like it. You know what? Hope in it. Trust in what God says, that He's going to do something in your life, and I'll tell you what, it'll do something different for your devotions in the morning. Hope loves to be with God's people every time the doors are open so that you can edify the body of Christ. That's hope. That's hope. I've got hope in this cause right here, and I'm going to show up to do everything that I can and get what I can. Hope loves that. Hope drives a person to serve in his local church because he is thankful for what God has done for him. Oh, the drive is there. Hope pushes a person to pray for opportunities to share the gospel and then to take that step of faith and speak that word. That's hope. That's hope. Hope emboldens a person to stand up at work for the sake of the gospel, unashamed. Hope helps a person to be resolved to do right no matter what. Hope sees the victory that Jesus has already won for us and gives him courage in the battle. Do you guys believe that? Do you believe this? Is there hope? Are you living it? You know, Peter, when he writes about the hope, he called it a lively hope, a living hope, an active hope. Or has the world already won? And we close with the promise of hope. Romans 15, 13 starts off with the foundation of hope, the God of hope. He goes on to the action of hope, or the belief in hope, that and joy and peace in believing. And then thirdly, that ye may abound in hope. The word abound is to exceed, to overcome, and to overflow, to abound. That sounds like good news for a church. What about, do you have belief and trust that Faith Bible Church can abound? Overflow in blessing? Do you think that's possible at this place? Jesus writes to Peter, or he says to Peter, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not
And he uses the word prevail against it. The word prevail is to overcome. Do you believe the church will prevail, or do you think that the devil's going to prevail? Do you think that right will win or that wrong will win? Do you think that it can abound? I would say this. Right now, I do not believe that Faith Bible Church is necessarily abounding or overflowing. But can it? Is it possible? Will we believe this promise? That's what he says here in Matthew 16, 18. It's going to abound. I call this the stewardship of hope. Honestly, it's not even our hope. It doesn't originate. It doesn't say, Pastor, I just don't know about it. It doesn't matter because it's all God's. It's all God's. It's His truth, and He said it would. Here it is, right here. He said it would. Here's victory. Responsibility, what are you going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Accountability, one day He's going to return. Did Faith Bible Church have hope in what I gave? Or did we tuck it behind our coat, go to the corner, cover it up, and wait until the Master returned? Here it is, Lord. Here it is. We endured. We survived. Oh, we've got a few people left. Look, the building still stands. Or will the Master come back one day and a whole host of people going through this ceiling to meet Him in the clouds? Whoa, there comes Faith Bible Church. Look at all those people. Look at all that they have brought. Look what they have done with so little. Well, wouldn't it be neat if Jesus could look at us and say, well done, good, faithful servants. Folks, that's my desire, is that we have hope that God can do something with this place. My fear is that we're surviving. Let's move forward. Let's sell out. Let's have hope. We've already been assured in a person and in a promise that we're going to win. Let's step out in faith and believe it. Victory is sure to happen. Victory is sure. How will He find us? Father, would You help us to be people of hope? It's stewardship. How are You going to find our hope? Lord, I pray that it would not be waning. I pray that it would not be leaning. I pray that it would not be falling over. But I pray that it would be active and demonstrating. And it makes its sight in what we do from day to day to see this church go forward. May we have wisdom. May we understand what You want us to do. But Lord, may we do it with all of our hearts, excited about what You have already promised. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. No, You have promised that the church is going to prevail. Let's live it. Oh God, would You help us? God, would You help us? Heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder this morning, how many of you would say, Pastor, you know, these are some interesting things that You've brought. And I'm going to ask a different question. A lot of times, you know, if I ask a question like this in a raise of hands, it has a lot to do with, you know, God has spoken to my heart about maybe some sin. And maybe that is taking place this morning. But I'm going to flip it a little bit this morning. I'm going to say, how many of you find that this passage gives you encouragement today to have that hope, that biblical hope in our church that we can go forward? Anybody would be willing to raise your hand and say, you know, Pastor, this gives me hope today. I have more hope that God can do something with this place. Anybody like that this morning? You'd raise your hand and say, you know what? I have that hope. I have that hope. You put your hands down. Praise the Lord. Many of you, praise the Lord. Now I pray, let's pray that God would do something with this. What that is, I don't know. But we take our commands from the commander chief. Whatever God has. I don't know what that means, but let's do what He's called us to do. Father, would You help us? Lord, would You help us to have the hope that You have given to us today? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.